The blood of Jesus is the only path to redemption. It is the only hope, and it is the only answer. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I am Deacon Bob, and on behalf of our pastor, Father Mario, our very fine celebrant this morning, Father Scott, we welcome you today to the faithful family that is St. Cyril. To any visitors with us here this morning, we are very happy you have joined us in worship, and please know that you are always welcome here. All of our readings today focus on the characteristics of faith. In our second reading from Hebrews, the multifaceted faith of Abraham is demonstrated repeatedly. In our first reading, the Israelites, at the very first Passover, were courageously vigilant in faith as they waited for God to rescue them. And in our gospel, Jesus teaches the disciples, all who follow him are to have the same characteristics of faith as those in the first two readings, and we are to be ready in faith for the coming of the Master, just as the Israelites were at the first Passover. You know, when we talk about the return, being ready for the Master's return, we tend to think only of Jesus coming when he returns on Judgment Day. But the Master, Jesus Christ, he's in our midst now, and he comes each and every day. Therefore, we should be ready for him, strong in our faith at all times. Now, being ready for Jesus means our faith and our Christian characteristics are readily visible in our words and our actions at all times. And right now, today, the world desperately needs the Christian faith and its characteristics. The world needs who we are, what we stand for, what we offer, and what we do. We were harshly reminded last weekend that the world is so deeply infected with a great poverty of spirit. For last weekend, we had not one, but two mass shootings. At a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, a lone gunman killed 22 people, 22 innocent people, and wounded 24 more. The next day, Sunday, at a bar in Dayton, Ohio, a lone gunman killed 9 innocent people and wounded 27 others. That's 31 innocent people murdered and 51 more wounded. Do you know what the 31 had in common? They were simply going about their own lives, minding their own business. And through horrific acts of evil, those lives all ended abruptly in violence, including a mom and dad out shopping for school supplies. Think of the tragic ripple effect this will have on so many people. For that is 31 birthday parties that family and friends will not celebrate next year. That is 31 fewer loved ones at graduations and soccer games and at weddings, family vacations and get-togethers. To our brothers and sisters in El Paso and in Dayton, you have experienced a level of pain and suffering like none other. Saint Cyril will remember you, and we pray that someday the pain and grief caused by who you lost will be replaced with the sweet memories of the time you had to spend with them. Amen?
Amen.
You know, sadly, this level of violence is all too common. And the harsh reality is, mass shootings are only a small fraction of the violence that goes on every day in our culture. For violence is also sexual assault, domestic violence, gang violence, child abuse, abortion, human trafficking, physical assaults. And that list of violence just goes on and on and on. Do you know that Texas Children's Hospital here in Houston treats on average 2,500 cases of child abuse a year. Do you know that homicide is the second leading cause of death for men under the age of 30? You know, violence is a horrific, willful act. It is a slap at God, for it demonstrates the complete disdain for His creation, human life. To willfully explode in violence in any form at another human being, in essence, states their life is insignificant and does not matter. And sadly, all types of violence are deeply ingrained throughout the fabric of our society. Generally, after a mass shooting, national political leaders, the news media, celebrities on social media, they look to place blame or shout convenient answers. Convenient answers such as more gun control, making certain words illegal because the politically correct speech police deem those words as unsafe and threatening. Charges of racism, divisive political parties, poor economic conditions are also put forward. But frankly, to suggest these reasons are the true root cause of mass shootings or any type of violence is shallow and naive. You know, facts are stubborn creatures. The fact is, there is no gun involved in an abortion. Per the federal government statistics, on average, 85 to 90% of all homicides committed in this country are committed within the same race. And I'm pretty sure making certain words illegal is not going to stop domestic violence or child abuse. None of those reasons address the core source of violence. Rather, they address violence at its tipping point. Violence does not begin with external forces. Violence starts internally, and that source is as close as our own hearts. For the root source starts with the absence of Jesus Christ in the heart. It is the absence of God in the soul. You know, the presence of the Holy Spirit impressed into the heart and embraced body and soul does not allow the indiscriminate disdain for life seen in every act of violence. Does the Holy Spirit, alive in the heart and soul, allow that person to walk into a Walmart and kill 22 innocent people? Does the Holy Spirit in the heart that is alive allow someone to batter and beat their spouse? Again, before violence erupts externally, it starts deep down, internally, in the heart. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Jesus teaches this during the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "You have heard, you shall not kill, and whoever kills is liable for judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother is liable to judgment." Jesus has moved judgment up in the process from the actual act of violence to its root source, the anger in the heart. Yet sadly, many do not want to hear and will not accept this as a true root cause, because a spiritual answer does not support their personal or political agendas. But if we divorce ourselves from the liberal left and the conservative right, and instead we anchor into the radical center that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will clearly see this is the simple truth. You know, the amazing thing is, there are still so many people out there who work hard towards a society empty of Jesus, desiring all references of God be removed from the public eye. But they fail to understand that such an absence of the very creator of life will only push humanity deeper down a destructive path. What happens when we take Jesus Christ out of the soul of humanity? What happens when we remove the Holy Spirit as the guiding light of life within our beings? What happens is an emptiness and a void is created internally. And then something else will start to grow to fill that void. And all too often what grows in the emptiness are things of an unholy nature, things that grow into killing 9 innocent people in a bar on a Sunday in Ohio. Our current society is missing a morality, a core set of values on the dignity and sanctity of life. It is readily seen in the celebration of abortion laws, allowing abortion all the way to birth. It is readily seen by the decaying neighborhoods in our inner cities, ripe with gang violence, while local officials do little to end the sufferings of those neighborhoods. We are no longer a spiritually guided society. And unfortunately, the Christian voice has become too soft and passive. It is barely heard. Yet that voice is exactly what is needed. Amen?
Amen.
So as Christians, we are given a challenge to stop hatred and violence by Jesus. From the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." That means standing firm with our faith and sharing our Christian values with the world every day. So yes, as followers of Jesus, we are called to peace. Now, we cannot bring peace and spread it to the world by wishful thinking or by staying hidden behind the church walls. Peacemaking is an active, ongoing, outreach-type ministry. The peace of Christ the world needs will remain absent if our faith remains concealed within church buildings. Recognize it is our Christian calling to rise out of the narrow confines of self-interest and rise to the well-being and interest of those outside these walls. So as Christians, we must work to defeat the ideology of hatred from which violence comes. Hatred cannot drive out hatred any more than darkness can drive out darkness. Only the light of Jesus Christ can drive out the hatred and darkness of violence away. Amen?
Amen.
We must start with prayer. Now, I know it has become very popular to reject and shame via social media people who respond to violent tragedies with thoughts and prayers. Do not let such criticism or misguided attempts at shaming stop you from praying. For God calls us to pray in all matters. From James chapter 5, verse 16, we are told, "The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful." Do not lose sight of that. Now, in very practical terms, we can be alert and recognize those people who are marginalized or feel rejected in the world. Be aware of those you encounter who seem to have that void and emptiness in their heart. Reach out with your Christian values and help them replace that emptiness or the feeling of being marginalized. Bring down the general level of stress and tension around you at home, at work, or anywhere you go, by living the peace of Christ. Recognize a kind, encouraging word to someone starting down a dark path may help them to change course before that dark path leads them to anger and builds into violence. So as a Christian, if you see someone lonely, speak to them. If you see anger, step in its path. Try to slow it down with a kind word or a kind act. If you see someone lost and struggling, be the light of Christ. Offer them the way of the cross. If you see someone losing hope, encourage them. Let them know Jesus is with us all the days. Keep your faith visible at all times. Be a witness to all you encounter with the peace of Jesus. No guarantee it will ever be easy and comfortable, for we are not called to be comfortable. Rather, we are called to be peacemakers. so you can move forward with this ministry, secure in the knowledge that we are led by the very hand of God. And please, do not make the mistake of thinking your efforts are small, insignificant, or do not matter. For the very next person who may act out in violence is out there right now, somewhere. One of us may have a chance encounter with them, a chance to say a few words, and that may alter their path away from hatred and violence. You know, as Christians, our mission is clear and it is direct. We are to go outside these walls as peacemakers and be the light of Christ to all that we encounter, for there is no heart so dark that the light of Christ cannot penetrate it and drive the darkness out. And if you ever have any doubts or hesitations about the need to be peacemakers with our Christian faith in the world, I will give you 31 reasons we need to do so. 22 in El Paso, 9 in Dayton. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the world needs you. Jesus has called you. It's time to spread his light out and shatter the darkness. Thank you, Saint Cyril. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord thy God is with you always. May he bless you and your families all the days.